We're talking on the series, God Who, and this morning we're talking about the character of God. But before we get into that, what I want to preface this morning, just briefly, I won't keep you long, I promise, but I want to preface it by, we're introducing ourselves again, maybe for the first time for some, maybe many times you've asked the question, God, who are you and what are you doing? How many have ever just said, God, what are you doing in my life? I mean, Who are you? What do you want? What do you desire from us? And you know, I realize that we, first of all, let me answer in this manner who God is. We'll never know who we are until we know who God is. See, sometimes we ask backwards. We ask God to God, who am I? What do you want from my life? What gifts do you have? What do you want me to be doing in my life? And we pray and we seek God's face. But God says, get to know me. Know me and then you'll know who you are. Because who we are is an extension of God. That's the whole idea. That was His genius when He said, I'm going to come and I'm going to give you a new life, new creation. I'm going to give you and it's an extension of me. The old man, the old woman are dead. We were who we were. How many know? We were who we were. How many were good sinners? That's all right. You can admit it. Tell the truth and shame the devil, right?
Yes.
We were good sinners. But then God came to us and He came into our life and He gave us a new life. New creation. We're no longer sinners, but we're saints. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are His arms and His feet and His legs and His eyes. Come on, somebody. So if you want to answer the question, who am I? What am I supposed to be doing? What do you want from me? Know God. Know who He is. There's some characteristics I want to talk about briefly this morning. Jeremiah 31 says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother. Know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Now I want to just call attention to what he's saying. See, we get all excited about we'll all know God, but the reason why we'll know God is because He's forgiven our sin. Not sins, sin. He's forgiven our sin nature, our sin, the person we used to be. Not only has He made us a new creation, but He's forgiven our sin. We're holy.
Hallelujah.
Turn to somebody and say, I'm holy. See, now the caveat there, this thing, we ought to act holy. See, holiness isn't something you're reaching for. God says, be holy for I am holy. It's not something that we're hoping that we reach. We are holy. Peter says, we're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I identify with that peculiar. How many identify with peculiar? My wife says, I'm weird and strange. Synonyms for peculiar. So it's okay. But here he says, I'll remember the sins no more. And then John 17:3, he says, and this is eternal life, Jesus says, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And so the key here is to know God. God who? We got to know Him. And Habakkuk 2 says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of God, knowing God, that God cannot be known or that He is impossible to get close to is an Old Testament concept. And if you say you can't get close to God or know God, you are wrong. God can be known by all of us. He promised it. He promised it. Jeremiah the prophet said, every man will teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. He can and should be known intimately by all of us. And that he leaves up to us. It's us up to us. It's up to you, my friend, how intimate you'll be with God. It's just like anything else. You have casual acquaintances. You have people that you know you say hello to. You have really good friends like these two sitting here today, really good friends that are going to commute every week to church. And then you have family, you have intimate family that you know each other, you know all your way, you know, you don't even have to talk anymore. How many know somebody so well that you just don't even have to talk anymore, you just don't look and you know. That's the intimacy that God desires. God the Father desires that intimacy with us. And He gives us all, everything that we need to draw close to Him. He cleanses us. He heals us. He delivers us. And He says, you won't have to be taught. You can know Me. See, the enemy of our souls uses every tool available to him to deceive us into believing that we cannot know God. But we can know God. And when we know God, we'll know who we are. When you come into that realm of knowing who He is, knowing the small little nuances, the tweaks in your heart when He says, no, don't go there, go there. No, don't talk to this person, talk to that person. No, do this. And the Scripture says that there'll be a voice behind you saying, walk this way. That's the intimacy that God desires every one of us. It's not anything that He says, this guy's going to be closer than this girl and this guy. No, we can all be close to God. So, God who? Number one, God is holy. If we're going to know Him like He wants us to know Him, we've got to face this fact that He is holy. And when we say that, we start thinking about, you know, I don't know what you think about. When I think about God as holy, I think about the throne room and the smoke and the thing and the angels and God is holy. But it's a fundamental fact about God that He is holy. In fact, in Isaiah 43, He says, He declares Himself, He says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He calls Himself holy. He presented Himself to Israel as Yahweh with the preparation being His holiness. Exodus 3:5, He says, do not draw near this place to Moses. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Getting intimate with God doesn't mean being casual with God. He's holy. Let me say it again. Being intimate with God does not mean being casual with God, that we can just talk about Him casually like we do a good friend. I take offense at some of the things that are said today to kind of, we want to make God reachable to the sinner. But one thing we've got to never do with the sinner is let them think that God is just like us. He's not like us. He's a holy God. He's a God that's lifted up high and lifted up. He declares Himself holy. And some of these songs that I say, I'm sorry, maybe I'm old fashioned, but some of these songs just, they humanize God. God's not human. He's holy. In fact, until Moses was first made aware of God's holiness, God did not announce His personal identity. It was after the burning bush, when He's standing there at the burning bush, off with His sandals, His face on the ground, that He said in Exodus 3:13, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God is holy. Only Moses and Aaron were allowed on the mountain because of the holiness of God. Let me say it again. God is a personal God, but He is never to be treated casually, for He's a holy God. A holy God is revealed also in the person of Jesus Christ. I get it. I understand. I'm glad Jesus came as a human being. I'm glad He walked this earth. But when He was on this earth, He was just as holy as He is in heaven. We too can be too casual with the personage of Jesus Christ. Even the demons declared His holiness. Luke chapter 4 and verse 34 says this, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Even the demon said, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And I get it. I get talking about Jesus like a friend. I get that. He is a friend. He is, but He's Lord. And He's holy. Peter identified Jesus as holy. John 6:69, "And we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." God is awesome. Many times people had revelation of His holiness. Jacob went to sleep on a rock, woke up and said, "This is an awesome place." Joshua, when he encountered God, same as Moses, "Put off your shoes, for the place you are standing is holy ground." John in the Isle of Patmos saw Jesus, who he was best friends with, who he laid his head on his shoulder during the meal time. He laid and was close to Jesus. He was the one that stood with Jesus in the trial. When he saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, he fell as if he were dead before his feet. God is holy. The fear of the Lord points to this holiness. Divine purity that belongs to God alone. In the Old Testament, His purity was seen in the articles in the tabernacle being made of pure gold. God is holy. No one could approach the Holy of Holies unless they were cleansed, showing the holiness of God. Sacrifices had to be without spot or blemish. God is holy. Lest we forget, lest we get too common with God, He's holy. And when we know His holiness, we reflect His glory. Part of that holiness is His righteousness. God is totally upright, and He is a God of integrity in Psalm 25:8. Over in Psalm 85:13, "Righteousness will go before Him and shall make His footsteps our pathway." There is nothing in God's nature to be wrong. There is nothing in God's nature that He would make a mistake or wrongdoing. It's not part of His nature. He's holy. He doesn't have to try to be holy. How many have ever tried to be holy? You know, when I was coming up and when I was a kid in our church, it was holy to dress up on Sunday. Your character kind of changed. You know, in those days you wore all the ladies dressed up in their Sunday best and the guys dressed up in the suits and the ties. Come on, somebody. And you felt holy, you know, you felt. Then I sang in a choir, you put a choir robe on me and you really thought holy. You were holy because nobody could see your clothing. Everybody was dressed in these gowns, you know. Holy. We especially sometimes feel holy whenever we really want something from God and we get all religious, you know. "Oh God, you know me. I'm one of your captains. Help me." We feel holy. But we're holy because God is holy. And we're righteous because He's righteous. And we are hungry for that righteousness. If you're a child of God, you're hungry to be righteous and holy. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." What are they filled with? Righteousness. And we ought to act like that. We ought to act like righteous, holy people in this generation. We're tempted all the time to make compromises so we don't look so weird. Forget it. You are always going to look weird when you're serving God. Your face still gets red when somebody curses. You walk away from bad jokes. Come on, somebody. We need to be separate from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Come on, somebody. If our Father in heaven is holy, and He says, "I am making man in my own image," we're being changed from glory to glory into His likeness. We ought to walk and talk and act like it. I get it that we should be hip and we should be, you know, with it and all of whatever the young people say. We should be, you know, not weird. But you're going to be weird. And trust me, if you do it in the right way, God will make you cool. That's the whole thing of revival, is changing the tipping point from ignorant and weird to holy and righteous. Then you're cool. Then everybody wants to be around you. Come on, somebody. Because they know they can count on you. You're always going to tell the truth. You're always going to say the right thing. Come on, somebody. We need calluses right ahead, tongue. So when we go to say weird things, we bite our tongue. Don't say stuff. Or type stuff. We'll have our keyboards hooked to electricity. God is holy. Number two, God is love. As a matter of fact, love is the very essence of His divine nature. We've established the fact that He's holy, but the Holy One of Israel, the perfect one, loves us. He loves us. The one who revealed Himself to the priest and the prophet is holy, but He's also the Lord of love. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people." Verse 8 says, "But because the Lord loves you, because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." And it's a type and a shadow of what God did. God loved you just because. God didn't love you because you were better than somebody else. God didn't love you because you had a golden spoon in your mouth, spiritual golden spoon. God loved you just because. He chose you from the foundations of the world before you even knew who you were. God's love. Perfect love casts out all fear. I won't fear what man can do to me because God loves me. Come on, somebody. I don't fear when things are going to happen. Somebody said, you know, years ago, I can remember right after 9-1-1, people say, "Hey, if you get on a plane, you know, you're taking your life in your own hands. These planes are falling out of the sky." And I was having a conversation because I was flying to Florida 2 weeks after 9-1-1. I was having a conversation with somebody and I said, "Well, you know, God, it may not be my time. It's probably not my time to go. It's not my time to go." And he said, "Yeah, but what if it's the pilot's time to go?" Made me think. See, His love is not based on anything other than the divine inclination to show and expose His creation to that love. He says in Isaiah 43, "Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you." In the New Testament, the love of God is personified in Jesus Christ. When Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. God's love. God loves you. My friend, don't ever, if you want to know who you are, realize that God died for you. He just didn't die for a group of people. He did, but He died for you personally. Amen. You want to know how much God loves you? Where does He need to prove it any more than His death on the cross for you? Yeah. So I'm going to talk quickly, five aspects of God's love. Number one, it's His nature to love. Love is His self-expression. He's not guided by some motivation or need for acceptance. He doesn't say, "Well, I got to love you because you may not love me back. So I got to really show you my love." How many realize that God loves us? That's why He's so tough with us. Am I the only one that's ever prayed the prayer, "God, can you just let me get away with this?" Come on, someone. You know, when you wanted to rifle somebody, just, "God, can you just let me hit him just once? Just once, and it'll be okay. I guess I'm alone up here." If I could just get my hands around that politician's neck, just once. God's love. God's love. Because He loves us, He's hard on us. Come on, somebody. His nature to love. It's not that love is God. That's an idolatrous statement. Don't ever say love is God. No, God is love. Because the whole world has been saying, love is God. And look what it's got us. We can't even identify who we are. You talk about the blind. People questioning who they are. My answer is, go look in the mirror. It's quiet in here. I don't know if I'm a man or a woman. My answer is, go into the bathroom and look in the mirror. That's who you are. That's who God made you to be. And because He loves you, He's not going to change that. He doesn't go, whoops. You're born a man, but I meant for you to be a woman. Sorry. Oh God, please give me the money to be a woman. God is love. His love is spontaneous. He does not need the world or His creation to do anything. He loves. His love is free and without necessities. Number three, His love is never self-seeking, but always self-giving. Since He has no needs, His nature is to supply. He will supply for us because that's His nature to give. God so loved the world that He gave. He's not needing a response to continue to love. He's not waiting for us to approve of His love. He loves us even when we're unlovable. Some are more unlovable than others, and more frequently. But God loves us, see? Number four, the content of His love is seen in His action. You want proof that God loves you? Look around. Especially in this nation. In this nation, we have nothing to complain about. But yet we do. Gas goes up 15 cents a gallon, and we think the world's coming to an end. Come on, somebody. Oh my goodness, can you believe the people that are making money? 15 cents. Get over yourself. I'm serious. We just get all upset about all kinds of... God is love. He loves us. He's taking care of us. His action. He took care of us this far. What makes you think God is going to change anything? He sent His Son. He created the universe. He gave us everything that we have. We breathe because of Him. He gave us our home. He gave us our clothing. He gave us our food. It's an action God. God's love is known by what He does and continues to do. And lastly, His love is unfathomable. We can't reach the edges of His love. He loves us with an everlasting love. When nobody else will love us, He loves us. Come on, somebody. How many have gotten so ugly nobody wants to be around you? Come on, somebody. You get in that whatever you call it. That tizzy or that. Yeah, it's a funk. You don't even take a shower, you're so. So I want to be left alone. And in the middle of that thing, God begins to pour His love on you. His love is not only present, it's healing. His love is healing for the children. I can remember sometimes my little girl, Sarah, she was 20 or 35 yesterday. And I was thinking about her yesterday, as dads do their daughters. And I can remember sometimes she'd just come and sit on me and cry and just hold me. So all she wanted me to do is just hold her. She didn't want me to, Dad, don't tell me anything. Just hold me. God is love. God just sometimes will let us run into Him. We can tell Him anything. He promises He won't tell anybody else. God is not a gossip. David, King David, you know, he was, don't touch God's anointed. I'm not going to hurt Saul. But in his prayers, he said, get my enemies. May their tongue cleave to the roof of their mouth. May their eyeballs fall out of their head. Read it. We get to read it because God deemed it necessary for us to do so. But nobody around Him. King David, when he was in front of people, said, I won't touch God's anointed. But in prayer, listen, you can trust God. Part of the love of God is the trust of God. You can trust Him. He will keep secrets. He'll take you to the woodshed and nobody knows the wiser. He can correct you and you don't need to tell anybody He corrected you. And He's not going to tell them because He's looking to perfect you and He loves you and He would never hurt you. Oh, he'll hurt your flesh. How many know God like that? Am I the only one that God said, I'll break every bone in your body? Come on, somebody. Because he loves us. And lastly, God is truth. He is the only true God. He has complete integrity. He's dependable. He's faithful. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The Old Testament declares him as the only true God in Jeremiah 10:10. In the New Testament, Jesus calls him the only true God in John 17:3. 1 Corinthians 8 declares him as the only God, the Father. He is the God of complete integrity. God is truth. He's the fountain of truth. There can be no untruth in him. There is absolutely no deception or falsehood in God. He doesn't say what he doesn't mean. And that ought to be comforting to us. Because this God that's being put out as God, this God that the established church, the church that's been around for hundreds of years, is identifying God as a schizophrenic. Come on, is that like the God that we serve is bipolar? Am I the only one that sees that? Come on, somebody. God doesn't change. His truth never changes. His truth is solid. His truth is always. His truth was truth in the first century. His truth will be truth in the... If Jesus should tarry in the 190th century, he never changes. He's the fountain of truth. There can be no untruth in him. There's absolutely no deception or falsehood. His revelation and his word is true. There is nothing false about him, his word or his relationship with his children. If God punishes because of sin then, he'll punish because of sin now. God calls his people to the same kind of integrity. If he's true and righteous and what he says is true, there should be no deceit or hypocrisy in our statements or the way we walk. There should be no carelessness of words, no exaggeration of facts, no smudging God's word. Yes, God said this, but he really didn't mean it. God said this, but let me put it in modern English. Thou shalt not kill, but if you're in a situation where you need to kill, go ahead and kill. No, God said, thou shalt not kill. It's quiet in here. His truth is truth in any situation. Well, you're messed up. Go ahead and get rid of the baby. Well, you're all messed up. Go ahead and... there's really no reason to divorce, but divorce anyway. Maybe you'll find somebody better. We exaggerate. We get careless with words. We exaggerate the facts. Come on, somebody. If it was wrong then, it's wrong now. And our statements need to be of truth. The presence of truth is not the absence of love. If you don't want to know, don't ask me. Come on, somebody. In fact, we'll make t-shirts. You know, so when you see, you don't even have to say it. If you don't want to know, don't ask. We need to tell the truth. It's absolutely incumbent upon us. One of the reasons why we're not seeing revivals is because we're lying. We're saying things are okay. They're not okay. That's one of the reasons we're not seeing what we need to see from God. It's not God that's holding back revival, it's us. We're fudging on it. We're hedging our bets. We don't want to offend anybody. We're equal opportunity offenders. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To one that's perishing, we're a stench. To another, the Word of God says, we're a sweet-smelling savor. Saying the same thing, people are hearing things differently. Come on, somebody. God is love, and he expects us to be love. God is holy, and he expects us to be holy. But God is also truthful in everything he does. Amen. We shouldn't exaggerate the facts of God. We need to be dependable like he is. He is the God of complete dependability. He's trustworthy and reliable. People say, I'm not sure what God wants. Get your information from the source. Stop asking everybody else what they think God means. Come on, somebody. Just ask Him yourself. He'll always tell you the truth. We say, well, I'm not sure if it's God. Well, then you got a problem. Come on, somebody. I'm not sure if this is God talking. Get your Bible. Surround yourself with people that love God too, and they'll tell you. Well, you know, Pastor Rick, the lottery, the multi-state lottery, is $90 million. And I woke up this morning with seven numbers in my head. And I think it's the Holy Ghost, Pastor Rick. And if you pray with me, I promise I'll tithe to New Life. What do you think? Don't ask me what you want me to say. Don't ask me what I think if you don't want to know. You got a lighter? Why do you need a lighter? Let's just take the money and burn it. God is truth. His word is always true. It's not situational ethics. God's truth doesn't look different in a different situation. It's still truth. It's still solid. It's still based on truth. No matter what the enticement is from the world, the devil, anything. It's before us. We say, well, we can do it. We're free. God made us free so we can do it. No, God's truth is you are bounding yourself. You're deceiving yourself if you think God at all is going to change anything to make you more comfortable, more rich, more acceptable. He is a God of complete dependability. He's always going to give you the answer in His Word. Not one of His promises fail. He'll take care of you. He is a God that is faithful. One of the greatest themes in the Bible is the faithfulness of God. Amen. Exodus 34:6, He declares Himself to Moses, the Lord, the God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He declares Himself as a faithful God. His faithfulness is comforting and encouraging because we know we will never act differently. He'll never act differently to us. He's always going to be truthful with us. You can never go to God and say, God, did you really mean what you said? Did you really mean that you'd love me no matter what? What a silly question. Of course He's going to love you. God is truth. Let me close by this. If we'll know God and these three characteristics of God, He's holy. He loves us. He'll never lie to us. Amen. It will clear the image of ourself before Him. It becomes so clear who you are. If you could trust Him. And I realize there's people here this morning. People in your family. Maybe even people in church lied to you, abused you, hurt you in the name of Christ. Let me tell you what, God didn't have anything to do with that. He's not a man that He should lie. God is never anything like His creation. His creation is like Him. Listen to me. God's changing us into His likeness. He's not becoming our likeness. It doesn't matter what somebody did to you. It matters, will you receive the healing from it? You can't go back and change what happened to you. But God will heal you. And it will clear up a bunch of questions that you've had, the turmoil that's in your belly. Even now as I'm talking, you're going, can it be that God really loves me? That He won't lie to me? And let me encourage you. Yes, it can. He will. He's a prayer-answering God. We saw that this morning in Danny's determination. He's a prayer-answering God. His Word, let every man be a liar, but God's Word be true. Yeah. Heavenly Father, this morning, we look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we embrace You this morning. God, I pray for that brother and sister right now that's having turmoil in his spirit, in her spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord, meet their cry this morning. Heal that hurt, O Father, deep within them. God, just now, Lord, let them know of your love and your concern and your care. God, I pray right now, as every head is bowed, every eye closed, you say, Rick, you've been talking about a God that has been so distant from me. I've always believed that I serve God, but somehow, some way, I don't know God in that intimate way, and I need to know Him in that intimate way today. If you'll lift your hand, I'll pray with you. Say, I need to know God in that intimate way. Put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Yes. Yes. God, I thank you for these honest people in this congregation this morning. God, I pray for them. God, I pray that you'd come and heal the wounds in their heart. Apply the blood to their heart, oh God. Let their will be changed, oh Father. Lord, that they would open themselves up to you and trust you again, God. Maybe for the first time. I want you to touch their heart. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father in heaven, I ask that you come into my life. Jesus, I recommit myself to you. The past is gone. I can't get it back. But Lord, please be with me from here on out. Make sure, God, I want to make sure my name is in your book. Lord, I heard what Rick said this morning, and you'll never leave or forsake me. You'll always be with me. You'll never lie to me. You love me. I want to own that today. I want to own that, Lord. Make it my prayer to you this morning. Lord, write my name in your book. Come and live in my heart. Guide me. Direct me. I'll serve you. I love you. So, Father, now, just commit yourself, oh God. Thank you for your commitment to us. Lord, thank you for healing these people this morning. Lord, we look to you. Thank you for all that you're doing, all that you will do. We give you all the glory and all the power in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. If you need prayer, we're here.